Good evening, Rabbi Maevsky. I just wanted to begin. I titled this year tonight, Moshe, Man or Superman. And the reason I say that is there's a certain level of calmness about Moshe at this point in time after Matan Torah that is unequaled in terms of the job that he's facing. He has 3 million people waiting for him at every moment and not moving or doing anything and waiting for his every move to make. And he obviously is in total control over here. And what would lead that to somebody to be of this certain makeup? We saw by Matan Torah, beforehand, and at Kriyas Yamsuf, he was saying, Od Miatu Skaluni, the people, they're descending upon me. But at this point in time, there's a certain calmness that has come about. And what actually brings that about? We see over here, one of the things that we could focus on is we see over here when it says, Hinei Onochi, towards the end of the parsha, after and he's giving them their opening salvo of all these halachas, which I'll mention a couple of them in a minute. But it says, Hinei Onochi Sholeach Malach Lefonecho Lishmarcho Baderach Velaviacho Lamokom Asher Achinosi. And he doesn't complain about it. He says, I'm going to send you a malach along the way. But we see one thing very interesting later on in Parshas Kisisa when it says, after the Maisa Egel, Moshe complains bitterly and says, you're sending me a Malach. Well, if he complains then, what is the difference now that he doesn't make any complaints to God at this juncture? He says, to watch over you. There's a major difference between somebody who's showing you how to go someplace and somebody who's actually your security guard or somebody who's just your tour guide. There's two different things. There's somebody who could be a tour guide, but he's not responsible for your safety, but there's somebody who you hired as your security team and they are responsible. So now God is telling Moshe, Hinei Anochi Sholeach Malach Lefonecho Lishmarcha Baderech Malach. Interestingly enough, so he says, this man is going to watch over you. Of course, Velaviacha and Mefarshim make an interesting distinction over here. They're only going to bring you until Eretz Yisrael. Once you're in the land of Eretz Yisrael, you are on your own, which doesn't mean necessarily you're on your own, but then we know that those who live in outside the land of Eretz Yisrael, is like he doesn't have a God. So this is talking about outside the land of Israel. We have this thing is, the reality is, does somebody have Ein Mazal Yisrael or Mazal Yisrael? The Gemara in Shabbos at the end of the Masechta has an argument. Are we subject to astrology or are we not subject to astrology? And the Gemara ends up to say, we are up to a point, but we have the ability to pray. And prayer takes us out of the astrological signs. And therefore, so we have that ability. But where does that ability take place? Every country in the world has its own malach. Every country, every city, every town, the peoples, they have their own sar. We learn about Chumash Sar Shel Esav, Shal, various places, and the Sar Shel Esav, and various other advocates that every country has. Israel doesn't need an advocate of its own, because once you get into the land of Israel, Israel has the advocate for Israel is God himself. And once you cross the border, once you cross the Jordan River, which they expected at this point to be in only a few weeks, was going to be the God would take over from the hands of the Malach. God would now be totally in charge. One thing that I just wanted to mention before we go any further, because I wanted to give a shukayach to all the Magidei Shir, because there's a very interesting shot on, it says over here, as in this parasha, it says, as Mispar Yomecha Amalei. But there's another pasuk at the end, I will fulfill your days, and whatever days you have forecast for you, if you're supposed to live 80, I will fill your days. If you're supposed to live till 120, you will live out your days in peace. But it's very interesting thing that it has another pasuk after the in the middle of the Tokhafa, actually, when it says, I will increase your days, what is it thought? Vahosircha Hashem l'tova b'fri v'tnecha. What does that actually mean? Vahosircha Hashem l'tova. For those people who are marbits Torah, I will add to your days. You may be forecast to live 90 or 100, but if you are doing your job that you're capable of being marbits Torah and you are doing it, b'fri v'tnecha, who are b'fri v'tnecha? Of course, on a basic level, b'fri v'tnecha are your children, but also your students. So somebody who passes on Torah, the Limud HaTorah to the next generation, to various people, he has a greater stake in the world. He's doing it Oskim B'Tzarchei Tzibur B'Amunah, it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yishalem Schorim. So for all of those people who are doing all of this for, and those of us who listen to the shir and pass it on to their children, pass it on to their neighbors, this is a mitzvah that you're mekayim v'hosircha Hashem l'tova, you're passing it on to the next generation, and that's what God wants you to do. V'dilimadetem osam esbeneichem v'esbenoseichem, you know, and that's how Yiddishkeit stays alive. And that is the biggest mitzvah that we can perform, just going on beyond that. But now what I mentioned is we have all these halachas from the beginning of the parsha. And one of the parshas, one of the things I always like to say, something from Rabbi Alpert from the Limud HaNisan, and he mentions, Ki imkor ish es bitoli oma. Moshe is giving rapid-fire halachas here. Of course, God is dictating to him, but he's explaining it, and it says, Ki imkor ish es bitoli oma. What is the reason that it says up to now we see all this pasuk, a lot of psukim give using the word of or aviv, if a father does this or a parent does this or to a son, to a child, and it's always using the term of a parent, makay aviv imo, all of these things of that nature. Here it says v'kim kor ish. What is the significance of the word just using a man, a plain, ordinary man, sells his daughter? Because, as he says, any man who sells his daughter in to be a maidservant is not really a father. He would do and move heaven and earth to avoid having to go through that, to sell his own daughter to be a handmaiden and not to do that. And therefore, it says if she's not a man, she's not a person, he's not a parent, he's not acting as a true parent. But what I wanted to get on to further on is what I mentioned before. I said that when it says V'el Moshe Omar Alei El Hashem Atov Yaron Nodov Avihu, but it basically the only one is there's a perimeter on Har Sinai, and Moshe goes up to the mountain for 40 days and 40 nights. What gives Moshe that serenity of that ability to be that type of person where he is so humble? And he doesn't feel, even later on when we see at the end of Bahalosko when Miriam is talking, he doesn't stand up for himself, because it's not to say that he couldn't care less. He should be standing up for his own covers, for the covet of his office. But the reality is he is so humbled because he's been in the presence of God. Of course, at the end, he's been there three times for 40 days and 40 nights. But what actually happens to Moshe? He's on Mount Sinai for 40 days and 40 nights. Lechem lo achalti umayim lo shosisi. He's gone through a transformation. God has taken him body and soul and transferred his body, made up his makeup into more than a normal human being. Normal human being, you can't go more than a couple of days without food. And certainly you're going to feel hungry, you're going to feel thirsty. If Moshe could be so, can't say that he was able to control his hunger, because man couldn't survive without fuel that it takes to live. God had to transform his body. Did he ever get back to a normal state? We don't realize it. But being in the presence of God for 40 days, you undergo a certain transformation. Not only that, but the serenity comes from knowing we have, the scientists are always breaking their heads, and various people we study so much, whether it's Einstein, whether it's Isaac Newton, whether it's so many different scientists through the years, and that we, every generation, things change, we find difference. What Moshe went through was a 40-day, the first time he was up there for 40 days, God gave him an intensive course in how the world works. In other words, creation, 10-day course. There were four different topics that he covered: how the water system works, how the heavens operate, how the earth moves, everything about it, that Moshe would come down and understand it totally and completely, which is so that he could be able to explain it to all of Klal Yisrael. There's a certain serenity that goes with that. He knows that no matter what anybody says, he can answer it because he understands it on a different level. The problem becomes, can he explain it? And that's why the problem becomes when Yisro is saying that no, that he sees Moshe Nitzav Alechem in Aboker Ador, that you're sitting in last week's parasha, tells him that you're sitting 24 hours, day and night, with people asking questions. Moshe knows that the only way he could pass it along is when they hear it directly from Moshe himself, because Moshe Kibel Torah Misinai, what does that mean? He heard it directly from God. It's not that he just heard it. We could hear things, but the level of understanding was on a whole different level. His body, he went through a physical and mental transformation. His mind was so unbelievably transformed into this specimen of ability to handle every concept of creation, every concept of everything that goes on in the world. Imagine if he would be able to answer every single question about that any scientist ever had. He understood it all. He was in the presence of God for 40 days now. And when he comes down, he's in a different frame of mind. And what it tells us is, what it says at the Vayhi Moshe Bahar, it's giving us a beginning to Parshas Kisiso when it says that they kivoshesh Moshe, that Moshe was late coming down. He wasn't late coming down. It tells us now, Vayhi Moshe, they counted 40 days, but it says, Vayhi Moshe Bahar, Arboim Yom, Arboim Laila. He was on the mountain for 40 days and 40 nights. Whatever travel time means in terms of what does it mean that he went up? What is it, just his physical presence went up? Did he have to climb or did he ascend in spirit? We don't know what it means, but nevertheless, he had no food or water, no sustenance. But imagine sitting and hearing it right from the mouth of God. He was not a normal person. When he came down and he no longer had the desire to eat, or to feed himself, to give himself fuel, he was a changed person, and he had to be on a different level. And therefore, he just transcended the conduct of a normal human being. The fact that he couldn't live with Zipporah, he wasn't a regular person. He had not the desires of a normal human being, which is why he was able to control himself, which is why even in the face of the Egel that we have in a couple of weeks, I'm mentioning the Egel because in a few weeks I'll be going to Israel and maybe I'll the whole story of Kisis and Leakel. I'll be away probably, but maybe I'll pre-record it before I go away, and or I'll try to do it from Israel if it has to be that, but that means it's 5 o'clock in the morning to get on the phone. But nevertheless, I just wanted to mention that Moshe, even then, when God complains, Lechrei Kishichei Samacha, Moshe says to God, relax. You know, Moshe is in a different frame of mind. He's not a normal human being. He has transcended. He's in a different madrega. And the Aaron and Miriam, they can't begin to fathom what it's like. Even for us, certainly, we can't fathom a normal human being that we see. That's why it says, Ki Koran Or Pnei Moshe. He wasn't a normal person anymore when he came down from the mountain after 40 days. And this is something that we have to consider when we're thinking about all of Moshe's life and all of these things that go on. And that's what it is. But again, once again, Hinei Onochi Sholeach Malach Lefonecha, that he complains and he says, that the fact is that this Malach that's going with us now, that was fine, and that he will go along with you until you cross the Jordan River. Moshe saw no problem because he was with them as well, and he understood that God's presence, and what does that mean? Because once you get into Eretz Yisrael, as I finished off the shiur last week, when I said B'chol ha'makom asher atzkira shemi avo elecha uveirachticha. Once you get into the land of Israel, I will be inside each one of you. The land of Israel will permeate, my being will permeate each one of you. When you're living in the Midbar, you're subject to astrological signs. You're living in the proximity of Sichon and Amori and all the other nations of the world, and whatever happens to them, I will have to lishmarcho baderech. But once you get in the land, you don't need these guides anymore. You don't need a security team, because once you cross the border, I am your security team alone. So you live in Israel, God is your shepherd at that point in time. You live outside, you're taking your chances. And we all are. And we have to be thankful for all the things that are going on. There are a lot of things that are going on in the parasha, obviously, but I just wanted to focus on that we have to think of Moshe in a different light, that he was not a normal human being and didn't see things as much as he was able to explain. We also have to understand that he didn't see things the way the Bnei Yisrael, because the way they saw it in their own light, and he didn't understand because no longer could he relate to them. He didn't live amongst them, didn't suffer along with them. He lived in Midian, and now he spent 40 days with God and will do it again and again three times, and he is in a different frame of mind. And this is something that's very different. The last thing that I wanted to say is we notice a very important thing that we saw last week. We always talk about the phrase of Nasa v'Nishma. In last week's parasha, it only used the word Nasa. In this week's parasha, the first salvo, once again, after when Moshe is explaining it, it says, Kol Diber Hashem Nasa, does not again say Nasa v'Nishma. The only time it finally says, a couple of sukkim later, when it says, Vayikach Moshe, say for Abris, after it says, Vayichtov Moshe, now they had a text as a reference book to see all the laws that they're learning in this parsha. The laws in this parsha, by the way, are the second half of the Aseres HaDibros, all the mitzvos from Lo Sirtzach to Lo Sakmot. One, that's what the parsha in Mishpatim is concerned about. The last five of the mitzvos, the Lo Sirtzach, Lo Tignov, Lo Sinov, and Lo Sanev Re'acha and Lo Sakmot are in this parasha, the subdivisions of it, what they all mean. Having a slave is controlling somebody's life. It's an issue of killing and so on and so forth, how we go. And Moshe is going through the litany, each one very carefully, and he's explaining it in the order it deserves. And that's what we have to see. And if we don't understand certain things, we have to look, try to see it through the eyes of Moshe and realize that it's the failure when we don't understand something is the failure of ourselves to understand. Hopefully we get people who could explain it on their level. Thank God, when I had a problem, I was able to ask my father, and who would explain it to me to the best of his ability, but I kept note of many things that I had no answer, my own rebbe's had. But thank God, over the course of my life, I've been able to come up with many answers, which if we say over a pasuk, as I've mentioned, we don't understand the pasuk in the Chumash, say it over 10 times, say it over 15 times, mull it over. Sometimes a thought comes to your mind, and it will make sense. And sometimes we could think of things that possibly some of the Rishonim think, or something that the Rishonim don't even think of. Have confidence in yourself, and that's what Moshe is trying to instill upon us. We all have the spirit of God in us that's handed down, little pieces of it that Moshe gave over to Klal Yisrael. We Torah Tziva Lanu Moshe means, since we heard it directly from Moshe, it passes down through the generations, and there's that little bit of Moshe in each of us. We have the capabilities to go beyond what we think. We have greater capabilities than we would normally assume. Let's try to use it. Have a good week. Thank you.